right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Just a couple of things off of the pregame. Just it's very interesting to see now how everything that we've been saying, all of us red pill people over the last 4.5 years of 15 days to flatten the curve, it's more than that. It's 4 years and basically 7 months of 15 days to flatten the curve, but just easier to say 4.5. That basically everything that we said is turned out to be completely and totally right. We have CDC director, former CDC director, Robert Redfield, going and meeting with RFK Jr. and saying, you got everything right. In other words, Redfield, everything that he pushed for 2+, 3+ years was completely and totally wrong. Wrong on masks, wrong on social distancing, wrong, of course, on the deadly shots, wrong on closures, wrong on school closures, wrong on alcohol gel stations, wrong on everything. Now, I'm just wondering, since, and also you've got, of course, you have Crowder exposing Jay Varma, who was Cuomo's COVID chief inside of NYC, which you have, I mean, literally hundreds of billions of dollars worth of business lost, not to mention the lives that were lost because Cuomo was stuffing nursing homes full of COVID-infected patients. And by the way, that's not espousing that COVID's any more deadly than the flu, because it's not. Exact same death percentage, exact same percentage of death for people in the elderly category, but has a far less percentage of death for those under the age of 50 as far as comparison to flu. So packing nursing homes full of COVID infected patients would be the same as packing nursing homes full of flu infected patients. Same exact things. So I'm not espousing the opposite of my beliefs, but that's what Cuomo did. And the number is he killed about 16,000 people doing that, and he sleeps like a baby at night. Goes on Bill Maher, absolutely no problem whatsoever. But Jay Varma has been exposed by Steven Crowder. Here's the thing too. I've actually have this as a slide, but I probably won't get to it tonight. But Jay Varma, while he is locking down businesses and churches, and why the churches complied, I do not know. But while he's locking down every business and every church inside of NYC, forcing everybody to wear masks, and then putting out a vaccine mandate for everybody inside NYC that was in any way, shape, or form a governmental employee. And at that time, please understand that every business inside NYC that was still open was the government. So, and then if you wanted to open up, you had to have a vaccine, you had to have a vaccine policy in place, and then you had to have an Excelsior pass to enter into the businesses that cooperated with the vaccine mandates. This was all under Jay Varma. And Jay Varma, while all this was going on, get this now, and you can see the multi-tiers that he is part of as far as the bourgeois leftist globalist elitist, because he checks many of the boxes of being one of those people. While he's mandating that you stand 6 feet apart, that your business is closed, that your church is closed, that you have to get a vaccine, the vaccine rollout in 2021, which has now killed 36 million excess deaths around the globe, 36 million excess people around the globe. While he is mandating that you do all this at Cuomo's behest, he is participating in dance and sex parties that he hid from everybody else with hundreds of people jam-packed into a room. So none of these people believed in one thing they were mandating. None of them. You have Nancy Pelosi violating it, her nephew Gavin Newsom violating it, Biden violating it over and over again, and many others, of course, Wretched Witless violating it. Wretched Witless did the exact same thing Cuomo did. Wretched Witless is in a packed out restaurant with all of her friends for an ex-sorority party. Gavin Newsom's at the French Laundry. Wretched Witless goes and visits, just so everybody knows, that's Gretchen Whitmer, governor of the state of Michigan. Wretched Witless is vacationing in Florida twice during her own COVID lockdowns, not obeying her own rules when she got to Florida. So I guess COVID can only be transmitted in Michigan, but not Florida. So if this was so terrifying to everybody, and of course, we have the UK examples too of Boris Johnson mandating COVID lockdowns, masks, social distancing, while he's throwing throwing a lavish party in their version of Capitol Hill. I mean, I'm talking about jam-packed together, not 1 foot apart, jam-packed together. But Jay Varma there in New York City, see how he checks a lot of the boxes of the bourgeois leftist globes elitist. He and his wife are swingers, and this is the guy running. This is the guy running the COVID response. A guy whose and wife, who they are swingers, and they're running. You know what? Here's the thing: people like you, that shouldn't have anything to do with it. I believe it does. I believe that if you are unable to stay loyal to your wife, you probably ought not to be put in charge of everybody else's life. I mean, would anybody agree with that? I mean, if this was a, you know, I mean, I'm just saying that if this was somebody who has no moral values whatsoever, that maybe he shouldn't be put in charge of everybody's life. I know that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I get it. I'm a Romans 3:23 Christian. I understand that. I know that I have a long list, miles and miles long of sin. But the thing is, I've turned from my sin. And plus, I'm not asking to run people's lives. You can come to the church here, but I'm not certainly not running your life if you come to the church here. You're coming to hear what I have to say from the pulpit, and you're coming to be led in worship and things like that, but I'm certainly not running people's lives. Jay Varma, you, according to his own mandates, you couldn't enter a store without a mask on. You couldn't enter a store without a vaccine, without a second vaccine, without a third vaccine. You would be fired from NYPD. You'd be fired from the fire department of New York City, be fired from all governmental agencies if you didn't have a vaccine. And this guy here is at underground sex and dance parties and laughing about it as if it's no, yeah, well, you know, I had to be here. You can watch it. Go to Steven Crowder, watch the entire video. And he's smirking and he's laughing because you know why? Once again, because Jay Varma was meeting with, remember, he's still married. He's meeting with a woman, and remember my rule now. Remember my rule. If you get a picture of Jay Varma, you'll know most women are too hot for him. Remember my rule, because everybody's doing this now, whether you got Veritas, whether you got O'Keefe Media, and now Crowder's doing these undercover stings also. If she's too hot, you probably ought not to be going out to dinner with her, because she's probably filming you. That's the thing. So Jay needed to go, okay, look across the table. She's way too hot for me and my swinging wife. So maybe I ought to shut my mouth. But he didn't. He ran his mouth for a long period of time and has admitted to all of this now on video that while he's mandating, there he is. Oh, Jay, dude. Jay.
Ew.
I'm sorry, dude. Every woman's too hot for you. That's the thing. How you get anybody to swing with you is beyond me.
A face only a mother can love.
You must go to right before the bar is going to close. Right before the bars close in New York City, whatever time that is, and you scrape the bottom of the barrel to find out who's going to swing with you and your wife. But anyway, so Jay here, while he's mandating all of these things to everybody else but himself, while he's swinging and he's at sex parties. I mean, what does a sex party entail? I don't know. I've never been to one. So what does that entail? I think it might violate the 6-foot distancing rule. Might it, or maybe the mask rule? So these people were full of crap from day one. And if we ever tried to pull, imagine if Trump did all of this and now it was exposed. Why is this not a national media story? He's been fired from the company that he worked for 2 days ago. He's been fired from them. But why is this not a national news story? And again, I call on all the COVID-caving pastors. I hope that you're watching right now on the Christian Television Network. Can you please come out now to your congregations? Can you come out of the closet now to your congregations as a COVID-caver and go to your congregations and say, I was wrong. I'm sorry I closed our church for a week, a day, a month, a year, whatever it is that you did. Sorry that I made you wear masks. Sorry that I had flute players on the stage with slits cut in their masks so they could play their flute. I'm sorry that we did Zoom services. I'm sorry that I made you sit in COVID clumps. I'm sorry that between services, I had COVID teams come out with spray bottles and spray off your seats as if COVID is transmitted from anus to anus. I'm sorry that I was so stupid that people like this fooled me. Are you ever going to come out and say it? Is anybody going to come out and say it? Because now this gets exposed over and over and over again. Redfield goes, makes an appointment, a dinner or a lunch date with RFK Jr., the head of the CDC, during the epicenter of the pandemic, and said, RFK got everything right and I got everything wrong. Why is that not national news? Why is that not national news? And last thing on the pregame, Gina Raimondo, Commerce Secretary, calling for the extinguishment of Donald Trump, calls for him to be extinguished. And as Aaron said, we're supposed to be chilling the rhetoric. They call on the right wing to chill the rhetoric. And you have the Commerce Secretary and the Biden administration saying we need to extinguish Donald Trump and we need to chill our rhetoric. Unbelievable. Truly unbelievable. All right, let's go. Now, the title of this, of course, the deep state is trying to take down Alex Jones. And so far, they've been marginally successful. And this is, of course, breaking news from yesterday and today. Mario Nafal, Alex Jones InfoWars assets to be auctioned. A federal judge will approve auctions of Alex Jones InfoWars assets to fall this fall to help pay over $1 billion in damages owed to Sandy Hook families. Just leave this up for me for a while, because I'm going to leave this up. I mean, because I'm going to use it. The auctions start November 13th with InfoWars trademarks, copyrights, websites up for sale, followed by studio equipment on December 10th. Jones vows to continue his shows through alternative platforms despite the liquidation. All right, leave this up for me because it's got a lot of information to go over. So, first of all, I am not saying this for my own benefit. I'm just saying this because I happen to have the opportunity, because Rodney Howard Brown, my pastor, introduced me to Alex Jones, and I spent a couple hours with Alex Jones. I was on his show for a couple minutes. He is a very, very warm and nice and genuine human being who is absolutely being fiscally, reputationally crucified for really absolutely no reason. If you look what he allegedly did as far as Sandy Hook was concerned. So now Alex Jones is being forced into bankruptcy. He's already bankrupt. He has no money. He owes the Sandy Hook families $1 billion. It's $995 million. So it's easy to say it's $1 billion he owes the Sandy Hook families. I've even seen where it was over $1 billion. So I don't know exactly what the total settlement was. So let's look at this real quick. The federal judge approves the auctions of Alex Jones' InfoWars assets. How much are these assets worth? I mean, you're looking at, I mean, if you look at his studio with LED walls, the cameras, you're looking at his studio being worth somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million. And they're going to auction this off to pay Sandy Hook families the billion that they owe. Does everyone realize that $1 billion is 1,000 millions? And if you auction off, let's go to the second line, InfoWars trademarks, copyrights, websites for sale. What is this trademark worth? Nothing. Copyrights? Nothing. Not without Alex Jones attached to it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to buy the InfoWars trademarks and then have AOC host the show? I mean, what does that do? Absolutely nothing. None of this is worth any more than $1 million. None of it. None of it. They've already confiscated his ranch outside of, I can't remember what it was, Austin, I think it was. They've already confiscated that. And everything that he has outside of what he has to have to maintenance his style of living, his level of living, which is as a 100,000-aire, not a millionaire. So they've already confiscated everything else. And now they're going to basically confiscate $1 million worth of assets for a $1 billion claim. And listen, I'm being generous because I basically know through Aaron what a studio like that would cost. He's got multi-cameras in there. So you can just be generous to say each camera's worth $150,000 to $200,000. And that's being generous because some of them are not. Mm-hmm. The camera that I'm using right now is worth about $15,000. And we're basically putting out the same quality as Alex Jones on this. Now, we don't have multi-angles, and we don't have cameras on tracks. So I'm just saying, though, as far as quality is concerned, same exact quality, by the way, exact same. So what are they getting? Nothing. So this is just a malicious effort to bankrupt the man, and a malicious effort just to go after him to try to destroy his career. And, of course, it is a malicious effort to try to ban his speech, which they can't do. Which, by the way, they even tried to do, and the federal judge says, what are you talking about? We can't ban the man's speech. They tried to do that because this is all a CIA op. Thank you for that, Will. Let's go to the next one. End Wokeness tweet. Alex Jones got $1.5 billion fine over his settlement, actually, over his 2012. So this case was settled in 2023. So you're talking about 10, 11 years after he said it. He has to answer for these comments as if, you know what? Everybody had moved on and then somebody ginned it all back up again. About Sandy Hook. Okay, so 11 years, they have to go back 11 years. It's almost like being banned off of YouTube or Facebook when they go back months and months and months to find something to ban you for. Believe me, I know how that works. For those keeping score, these are the people who won't be fined, who won't have a civil penalty assigned to them. Zero fines for lies about Iraq WMDs. I got somebody in the room that fought in that war because he was sent over there under false pretenses that there were WMDs. Zero fines. And remember how many Americans were lost in Iraq and Afghanistan? How many total Americans have been lost in the two Gulf Wars? How many? And especially the second one was based by George W. Bush, was based on total and complete lies. Complete lies. And now we surrender back all the territory we ever took. Afghanistan is now in the hand of the Taliban. And for all intents and purposes, Iraq is in the hands of the Muslim Brotherhood. Zero fines for the lies about Project 2025. You have one lie after another that Donald Trump is the founder of 2025. Basically, that Donald Trump is the author of 2025, or he's a contributing editor or author of 2025. And the author of Project 2025 has come out and said, here's the list of people who contributed, and Donald Trump had zero to do with it. So all of those people that defame Donald Trump, are they going to be made to pay? We'll get to that in a minute. 0 5 for the lies about the COVID vax. Remember, it stopped transmission infection, did not, said it was safe and effective, and it was deadly and ineffective. Zero fines for the lies about Hunter Biden's laptop, 51 former Intel chiefs, saying that Hunter Biden's laptop had the sure earmarks of Russian disinformation and a Russian op. 0 fines for the lies about Russian collusion, $42 million and 41 FBI agents assigned to Russian collusion hoax, came back with absolutely nothing. 0 fines for the lies about the Butler attack, and then we'll have the Roush attack and all the lies that will surround or be a part of the Roush attack. Also, the Roush, was it Routh? Routh attack. Is it Routh? Ryan Routh. Ryan Routh. Routh.
Yeah.
You get Roush. Yeah. Ryan Routh attack. So absolutely nobody has had to pay any civil fines, any civil settlements. Nobody's been sued over any of that, right? Well, let's use this example right now. Tim Young video. Look at what Rosie O'Donnell said about the Butler shooting. Play for me.
Now, I don't know what happened that day, but I don't think it was a bullet that hit him. I don't. I think it was maybe a fragment of something but I don't know. Without a scar to be seen, yet blood all over it. Look at the photos of him right after with his fist pumping, a normal reaction, right? To almost being assassinated. There's something really hinky about the whole thing. And I don't know what it is, but I am saying this. For people who go on conspiracy theories for endless cycles, you know, deep dives, how come this isn't getting a deep dive? How come people are just like, look, his ear is normal now? Yeah. Wait, he's not an octopus. He doesn't regrow his limbs, his ears, his nose or whatever. You don't regrow. We're humans. You don't regrow your arms. Or your ears.
Alex Jones said nothing worse about Sandy Hook than what she just said about the Trump assassination attempt, where Corey Comparator is dead and two other people were shot outside of Donald Trump. Four people were shot. And she's claiming that it's a conspiracy and that Donald Trump wasn't hit by a bullet. It is very possible that the bullet that went through Donald Trump's ear killed Corey Comparator or hit the other two people in the stand or one of the other two people in the stands. Four people were shot, and Rosie O'Donnell is claiming that it's a conspiracy theory, that Donald Trump was hit with a bullet, and that there's no damage to his ear whatsoever, even though he was seen by a doctor in an ER who repaired his ear, and the doctor said it was a bullet hole or a result of a bullet strike. So how is what she said any different than what Alex Jones said about Sandy Hook? None. So again, when we run the CIA, because this is all a CIA op, to destroy Alex Jones, ginned up by, remember, Alex Jones said the Sandy Hook stuff in 2012, and now he's losing all of his InfoWars assets in basically the tail end of 2024. So somebody ginned this whole thing back up, right? So that they could shut down a leading talking head for the conservative movement. Right before an election, of course. So my point is, when we run the CIA, because just remember something, you're like, well, Tom, you can put, you know, one of your favorite people, you know, whatever it's, whether it's Mike Davis, whether it's General Flynn, people like that, you can put them in charge of the CIA, but there'll be a whole lot of people underneath there who are deep state actors. Yeah, but you know what? Basically, anybody at that level will do anything to keep their job. That's why everybody bent over, grabbed their ankles, and took 5 vaccinations and stood 6 feet apart and wore around stupid masks and then upgraded to an N95, then upgraded to an N95 with another mask and took their 6th vaccination, because they'll do anything to keep their middle-class job. And I've been born, raised, and I'm still middle-class. So I'm not bad-mouthing the middle-class, but I can flat out tell you what, I wouldn't take some experimental gene-altering drug to keep my middle-class job. I think I'll go on my own. I think I'll just live out in the woods. But so when they take over, when we take over the CIA on January 20th of 2025, we need to put out initiatives to go after everybody. Well, because if the CIA can stir up these civil lawsuits, then why can't we do the exact same thing? None of them are being prosecuted. We'll go after Rosie's lies, Hillary Clinton's lies, Biden's lies, Hunter's lies, Kamala Harris's lies, Fauci's lies, Redfield's lies, Deborah Burke's lies, Rochelle Walensky's lies, and anybody else who lied on the grounds of the continental United States of America. Klaus Schwab, even though he's never here. Soros certainly is. Alex Soros certainly is. AOC's lies. Everybody who lied about 2025. Jim Acosta's lies. Chuck Todd's lies. Go after all of them. Because if Rosie O'Donnell, if Alex Jones can be civilly tried for what he said about Sandy Hook, which were his opinions, then certainly Rosie O'Donnell can be civilly sued for her opinions, right? So here, look, watch this video, Modern Warfare with Alex Jones video. Remember when the CIA and FBI got caught bragging to an undercover journalist about how they set up? And let me give you my spiel once again. Here we have another undercover camera situation here. I'm trying to look at who did this one. Is this O'Keefe Media? I don't know. The Sound Investigations is what it says. Sound Investigation. I want to give proper credit where credit is due. But this is a gay guy. And you need to look at the gay guy and ask yourself, dude, once again, is that guy too hot for you? Because why would there be some hot dude across from you? You need to be thinking, I'm on camera. All right, play for me, Will.
You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How?
You set them up.
Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
Yeah, we get really close. We call it a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudge. Sometimes you just gotta give them a quick little, just to see what happens. Sometimes you light the fuse and just wait for it to follow. Nothing like putting out a fake social media thing to like really get people mad.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are?
He did what we wanted.
Which was what?
Took his money away. Chopped his legs off.
Gavin O'Blenis is a contracting officer at the CIA. O'Blenis worked for the FBI in 2021 and 2022 in the San Diego office, moved on to Homeland Security where he conducted asylum interviews at the southern border, and now works for the CIA managing multi-million dollar contracts across government agencies and private sector vendors.
Who would be like a big influencer that you're after? I don't even know these names, like a Fox News person or like a Tucker Carlson or like...
I'm sure he's a... Right. You always want the biggest and loudest. Like that, what was his name? The one that said the Sandy Hook didn't happen.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are? Hardcore. Are you still after him? Why?
Because he's broke. He got found guilty and had to pay like $100 million.
So what? Why were you after him?
We're not anymore.
Just to get the money from him?
Yeah.
Was that court case used? Was that a CIA
thing? Sure it was.
That was an agency thing?
Well, actually it was a defamation case. Mm. So it's a civil, not government. But we were looking at all of his followers, commenting, following, like, who's that going to be this time? Right? So even though it's technically not our, well, not the agency definitely, but the Bureau, for instance, Yeah, that's not our purview. It's a civil matter. But since they got all this access to his stuff and it's there, what can we go find?
And did you find anything?
I can't tell you if we did. But so, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, realize the opportunity that you have.
So with Alex Jones, you were watching him long before anything ended up happening.
Probably. It wasn't my office, but, I mean, we would have been well aware of what he was doing.
And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Oh, pretty much. And we let the families do it.
And what?
We let the families do it.
Were they encouraged to do that by the Bureau? Like, nudged?
We don't encourage people.
But, like,
we just say there's no federal statute being broken. But you do have the option for a civil case. And it's a pretty good case.
Nice.
In our opinion.
So, that makes so much sense. I have a cousin who's a lawyer. So that's a lot of these cases. They're kind of encouraged by the FBI?
Yeah, like, there's nothing federal law we can do, but civilly, we can go at them that way and chop his legs off.
And they did?
Yeah.
So the FBI was happy?
We didn't care. We were like, oh.
Basically, the citizens did your job.
Yeah.
Wow, so you can encourage a civil lawsuit.
Not encourage. Educate.
What can you do with people like Alex Jones now? Because he's still out there.
Yeah.
He's still chirping.
He can chirp.
Are you still watching him?
Yeah.
Why?
He did what we wanted.
Which was what?
We took his money away. We shut him up for a while. You're never going to shut him up for anybody.
How? Well, unless you put him in prison.
But again, he didn't do anything to go to prison.
So, of course, that's Gavin O'Blinis, contracting officer for the CIA, admitting that their goal as the CIA, as the FBI, was to bankrupt Alex Jones via meeting with the Sandy Hook victim parents and orchestrating a civil lawsuit. Correction. We didn't urge it. We just educated them. So you have the CIA and the FBI meeting with Sandy Hook parents to orchestrate a lawsuit. By the way, most of the Sandy Hook parents wanted nothing to do with this ridiculous lawsuit where you're claiming that Alex Jones is defaming dead people. It's no disrespect to the legitimate victims at Sandy Hook. There are legitimate kids who died there. They were all legitimate, folks. Everybody who died at Sandy Hook had a life before that, a life after crisis actors. They were people who were shot in a mass shooting. That is a fact. Just like there was a fact at J-13 when Crux shot four people. People were shot and killed at Sandy Hook. Now, how Sandy Hook was handled and things like that, okay, that's up for debate. However, people were shot. Now, most of the parents involved and the other, whether they're spouses or relatives of the victims, because there's teachers killed there too, most everybody wanted nothing to do with the CIA and FBI's lawsuit. Most of them have nothing to do with it. I believe it was four families that did. And the FBI and the CIA orchestrated this civil lawsuit against Donald Trump in two states, both Texas and Connecticut, coming up with a total of $1.5 billion fine against Alex Jones, or civil settlement against Alex Jones, where he has to pay a $1.5 billion defamation settlement to people who are alive and people who have not been stopped from getting a job. He's paying a defamation lawsuit, and the people that he defamed are dead. That makes no sense whatsoever, but it doesn't matter. Pull up a picture of the judges in his lawsuits. They're both COVID activists, right, left-wing Democrat, Kamala Harris, at the time, Biden activists. Again, Alex Jones is brought before a blue judge in a blue jurisdiction with a blue prosecutor, or a blue attorney, because there are no prosecutors, civil case, blue prosecutor, so to speak, civil prosecutor, blue jury, blue judge, blue jury pool. It's like he's in Connecticut and Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas may sound great. Austin, Texas is no different than New York City. It's no better. You'd have just as good a chance of winning in New York City as you would Austin, Texas. So they orchestrated this entire thing. The last thing I'll say on this is that all of this must come down. There cannot be let bygones be bygones when we are in power. I hope that Trump's in power for 4 years, and I hope that Vance is in power for 8 years. So over those 12 years, the CIA, the FBI, the ATF, the DHS, CBP, everything gets stripped down to the studs, and people are criminally prosecuted for orchestrating crimes against people's rights. There are many. You look at some of the some of what Mike Davis has to say about this, some of the posts from Mike Davis. There are criminal penalties for violating people's rights in the United States of America. When you have the FBI and CIA orchestrating a civil lawsuit to ban speech from their political opposition, and you're like, the FBI and CIA shouldn't have political opposition. Well, they do, because they're all Democrats. They're beyond Democrats. They're leftist, bourgeois, elitist, globalist. That's who the FBI and CIA are. That's why you had Christopher Wray flying off to Davos this year. Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, is at Davos, Switzerland for the WEF. So everybody needs to be exposed. This cannot be let go of. This needs to be exposed, and these people need to be prosecuted. If we have to go back and prosecute Hillary Clinton, you're like, well, what if it's outside the statute of limitations? Change the law, just like they did in NYC, to civilly prosecute Donald Trump for E. Jean Carroll's ridiculous case, where they changed the statute of limitations. We can do the same thing. All you have to do is have power. And by the way, you don't even have to have the power in D.C., because Donald Trump was persecuted via prosecution in NYC. So we'll just go to a red hub somewhere. All we need is a cooperative judge, cooperative AG, or district attorney, and we can do the exact same things, which is what's amazing to me that Democrats don't understand as they celebrate all these alleged wins that they have with, like, Fannie Willis and Tanya Shutkin and Jack Smith and Alvin Bragg and Matthew Colangelo, and we're also happy, 34 felony convictions. We can do the same thing to you. You do the same exact thing to you. That's why when we are in power, we have to do the same thing to them, or they're going to keep doing it. It's not even retribution. It's not even vengeance. It's taking proper precaution so that it ends. And the example that I always use, there would be no Brett Kavanaugh if Clarence Thomas had taken care of Anita Hill. He needed to sue Anita Hill into oblivion for defamation. And then there would be no Christine Blasey Ford, who got a $600,000 PayPal payment for flying to D.C. and lying under oath against Brett Kavanaugh. This all has to be taken care of. I could spend all night on Alex Jones, but I'm not going to do it. All right, let's go to the border again for a little bit. This is my Kamala section here for a little bit. So Kamala is the border czar, so let's look at what she's done. Wall Street Apes video. California sheriff says illegal migrant murdered over 25 people in this county. One migrant killed 25 people in this sheriff's county. Play for me, Will.
We had an illegal immigrant, El Mano Negro. He was a hired hand by the cartel, where we arrested, and finally he admitted to killing and assassinating over 25 people in our county at the hands of the cartel. We just unraveled a cartel in our county, dismantling that cartel. The people in that cartel that we arrested openly admitted that within the last 3 years, it's easier now to move human beings, drugs, guns, fentanyl most specifically, across the border, and that it's easier now than in the history of their cartel. I can tell you, because of the Biden and Harris administration, law enforcement resources are quickly depleted. We have victim after victim that we see, as you'll hear today, and that these stories are not unfamiliar to law enforcement up and down the state of California.
One illegal immigrant kills 25 people in one county. And somehow you lack compassion if you want a closed border. You don't let that guy in. 25 people are currently alive. And somehow we are alleged to lack compassion because we want to close the border. Go to the next one for me, Will. Bill Malugin tweet. Here we go. I could do these all night long. I should do them all night long. I should commit one entire show to just flipping one of these slides after another. New. ICE confirms that the suspect arrested in Maryland for allegedly murdering his 18-year-old girlfriend is a Salvadorian illegal alien who was caught at the New Mexico border by Border Patrol in June, but was released into the United States of America. Again, I would love somebody to just, if you're a leftard and you're watching this, hop on the Rumble chat and explain it to me. Believe me, they'll notice you when you're on the Rumble chat. Start explaining to us how it is an attribute to allow this person into the country. Explain to us your superior virtue by allowing this person into the country to murder his 18-year-old girlfriend. I mean, I would love to know that. Just like we covered last night with Nantucket, where ICE goes in and arrests two guys for raping kids, and the Nantucket Police Department, because they're a sanctuary jurisdiction, as is the entire state of Massachusetts, they released them both after their arrest of raping kids. They're arrested for raping kids, put in jail, and then released them into the public. Some left hard. Please tell me how that is a virtue to do that. Tell me how that is compassionate to do that. Tell me how you're morally superior to me when I say keep them in jail under an ICE detainer and you say release the child rapist out into the public. And then they'll say, oh, that's just all vitriol. That's just all hyperbolic. That's not really happening. Just like they always claim that post-birth abortions don't happen when Tim Walz is responsible for 8 of them himself. They always claim this stuff is hyperbolic. There's no migrant crime crisis. Oh, really? Tell the parents of the 18-year-old girl who was murdered by the Salvadorian illegal alien that was caught on the New Mexican border in June of this year and then released to go murder this girl. Go to the next one for me, Will. Illegal alien crimes tweet. Guilford County, North Carolina on Sunday. Jacen Alfonso Medrano Espinoza was arrested for breaking and entering to terrorize, false imprisonment, and, of course, sexual battery. And if I dare say that we have a sexual battery problem amongst the illegal immigrant population inside of the United States of America, first of all, why do we even have an illegal immigrant population inside of the United States of America when they are illegal? So I would like somebody to go explain to the victim of sex battery, in other words, rape, explain to me how it was a virtue. Explain to me your moral superiority for allowing this person into the country. And I guess, again, as I've been saying over the last couple of podcasts, I guess if you wear a shirt, like my shirt says Relentless here, if you wear a shirt that says, I'm a Democrat, I'm on your side, this guy, this Alfonso here, Jacen Alfonso, I guess he won't rape you then, right? Because you say, I'm a Democrat. He's going to spare you from the consequences of your own idiotic, asinine, idiotic policies. All right, let's go to the next one. Will, Wall Street Apes video. How is this still allowed to continue? Get this now. I'm going to grease the skids here. Hunter Biden actually owns, to this day, 10% of a company called Eplata, which is a microfinancing loan company for illegal immigrants coming up through the southern border. Mike Benz, play for me, Will.
So then the third one was Hunter Biden actually owns 10% of a company called Eplata, which is a micro financing loan company for illegal immigrants coming up through the southern border. And so, you know, at the same time, the Biden administration Justice Department put out a notice telling the banks that the Justice Department would take legal action against any bank who refused loans to illegal immigrants. Meanwhile, you know, the First Son has an equity investment in a company that profits off those very loans.
So if you go back to these, you go back to the slides that I just showed a minute ago with the rapists and all that. How much longer are we going to be used and abused via criminal fraud? Hunter Biden actually owns 10% of a company called Eplata, which is a microfinancing loan company for illegal immigrants. So as we dealt with Juan Merchan and Lauren Merchan, the judge in Trump's trial where his daughter was financially benefiting off of the trial to the tune of at least $10 million going into her pocket. She raised $100 million off of it. Now you have Hunter Biden benefiting off of his dad's open border policies because now he gets to finance these illegal immigrants. At the same time, the Biden administration Justice Department put out a notice telling the banks that the Justice Department would take legal action against any bank who refused loans to illegal immigrants. Meanwhile, the First Son has an equity investment in a company that profits from those very loans. Do you think you get that? So The Justice Department, the Biden administration Justice Department, puts out a notice to the banks that if they refuse loans to illegals, to illegal immigrants, they would, that the Justice Department, what would be the crime for that? What would be the crime? Crimes against rights, which is, again, which we need to be, when we own the Justice Department, we need to go after all of these people for violating the rights of Donald Trump, Alex Jones, Peter Navarro, Stephen K. Bannon, Michael Flynn, Roger Stone, and anybody else I'm forgetting about right now. James O'Keefe, Rudy Giuliani, all the people who were raided. We need to go after them for crimes against rights. But I digress. So while the Justice Department is saying to the Justice Department, shouldn't this be like some other agency other than the Justice Department? Because the Justice Department is now going to stipulate when a bank gives a loan and when a bank does not give a loan. That's under the Justice Department. Yeah, because you know what else has been under our Justice Department? Our speech has been under the Justice Department. Speech should never be under the Justice Department. Speech is under, you have Justice Department is criminal, and then you have civil. Speech is under civil. If I defame somebody, then I can suffer civil penalties for that, but not criminal. But now, for some reason, speech and banks are under the criminal prosecutorial system of the Department of Justice. Well, how's that possible? It shouldn't be, but the Justice Department is putting out, but there are no rules anymore. They can just do whatever they want. They can do whatever they want because all you need is the right judge and the right jury. You can do whatever you want. That's why all their prosecutions are in blue jurisdictions. So the Justice Department put out a notice telling the banks that they would, that the Justice Department would take legal action against any bank who refused loans to illegal immigrants. Meanwhile, Hunter Biden has an equity investment in a company that profits from those loans. So Biden mandates loans to illegals that his son profits off of to this day. All of it needs to be stripped to the studs. I don't care if Joe Biden is 94 and asleep on the beach. He needs to answer for his criminality. And so does everybody else, like Fauci and all the rest of them. All right, let's go to the next one. Will Josh Dunlap video. President Trump promises to shut down Kamala Biden administration migrant flights. Play it for me.
Programs which have been allowing up to 80,000 migrants to come into the U.S. every single month. Those two programs we've been talking about them, the CBP cell phone app, the CBP One cell phone app, and the CHNV Migrant Flights Parole Program, which combined together in less than 2 years have already allowed more than 1.3 million migrants into the U.S. through humanitarian parole grants. Now, in a phone call with me, former President Trump told me if he's elected, he will end both of those programs immediately. And on top of that, we'll revoke parole grants for any migrants who already came in via the programs. Take a listen.
I would revoke it and they get out, and the app is bad. But what the worst is the flights, because, you know, they tried to say, oh, we're going to toughen up the border a little bit. They had planes flying over the border loaded up with illegal migrants, people that shouldn't be in our country, going to the Midwest, going to all places, because everything is now a border state.
What's your message to those 1.3 million who have been paroled in the country and are expecting to stay here?
Get ready to leave, especially quickly if they're criminals. Get ready to leave because you're going to be going out real fast.
And that's the way it should be. Get ready to leave. Tom, what about this? I don't want to hear what about this and what about that. And then I don't want to hear about that they had a kid here and that the kid's now a citizen. That's not true. That is not federal law that if two illegals come to the United States, have sex and have a kid, that kid is now a naturalized citizen. That is not our Constitution. That is not our laws. Those anchor babies, the anchor baby concepts are all lies. Everybody out. That's the way it has to be. Lawlessness is lawlessness, and everybody can get in the line. We already allow in 1 to 4 million legal immigrants per year on top of Biden's 17 million that he's let in 3 years. 21 million people, isn't that enough for everybody? So he lets in. Thank you for that, Aaron. Out of the CBP app once, you can just go to an app. You know, just go, hey, you know what? I'd like to. I'm in Haiti. I'm in Cuba. I'm in Nicaragua. I'm in Venezuela. I'm just going to go to an app and schedule basically a first-class flight into America as a rapist. I just go to my CP. Imagine even having this. A CBP app. So I pull up all my apps here. Let me see here. There we go to my phone. Here we go. I mean, of course, there's all my, see all my apps. Look at all my apps. Look at all my apps. There they are. I'm going to go to my CBP1 and I'm going to schedule a flight. I don't want to be bothered with having to transverse the Darien Gap up to the southern border. So I'm going to go to the Biden administration. Give me a free flight. And by the way, you and I pay for all these at about $150,000 a flight. $150,000 a flight. You and I pay for it. You and I paid $150,000 a flight to fly in 1.3 million people. This is how Biden claims that the border numbers are down. He doesn't, because again, it's all a matter. It's all lies at the border. It's not a matter of how many people are crossing at the border. It's a matter of who's counting how many people are crossing the border and how they count them. Because what they're doing now is they deem them via a port of entry inside of Mexico. They just basically go, you know what? You're legal. Get on a bus. You're illegal. Get on a bus. So they just say all those people that they allowed to cross the border, 15,000 per day, you know, they've really lowered it down to 2,500 per day. Well, you know what? The other 12,000, they just deem them to be legal before they crossed. You're like, Tom, let's not pause. That's exactly what they're doing. That's what they do right here. Where are these? These numbers don't count in CBP statistics. They don't count. These are not counted as illegal entries. That's how are they made legal? They board a flight in Nicaragua, Haiti, Cuba even says they can't be boarding them in Cuba. But anyway, Venezuela, they board these flights. And by the way, they found, of course, mass corruption in all this. People making tons of money in corrupt activities off of these flights. But I digress. How are you made legal when you board a flight in Afghanistan and fly into the United States of America? Nicaragua, flying to the United States of America. Venezuela, flying to the United States of America. Why do I bring up Afghanistan? Because they did the exact same thing with hundreds of thousands of people from Afghanistan. And nobody has any idea who these people are. And they're deemed legal before even getting on these flights. And they fly into the country and let them out into the wind with a notice to appear for 7 to 10 years. Everybody knows what a notice to appear is, right? Simple. It's a court document giving you notice to appear. And they're given 7 years to appear at their first hearing. And they're now called legal. That's what the Biden administration is saying about the Haitian refugees inside of Springfield, Ohio. They're not illegal. They're all legal because they're all flown in right here by the CBP app, CBP One app. Look how they name these things, like Arrive Can and all that crap. Matt, we're just used and abused via their fraudulent criminal activity. 1.3 million on Biden flights. I mean, come on. I mean, listen, I couldn't stand Obama, but at least Obama and Clinton and Carter and the Bushes and all the rest of the globalist bourgeois leftist elitists, at least they weren't flying them in at $150,000 per flight. At least they made them come through the southern border and many coming through the northern border also. They just flying them. We're not gonna have you be bothered by having to walk through the southern border. You know what? Here's a first class seat on a flight from the CBP app, CBP One app. I can't stand the names either. It just drives me nuts. All right, let's go to the next one, Will. End wokeness video. You wonder about the true consequences of what's happening? The true consequences? This is, now we've already covered Aurora, Colorado. We have Tren de Agua going from apartment complex to apartment complex with semi-automatic or automatic rifles, collecting rent and kicking people out of the buildings, and nobody does anything. Jared Polis, the governor of Colorado, does absolutely nothing, doesn't call the National Guard, nothing. And again, I just use this example. Sorry for the redundancy, but if you and I right now, the 1,009 people that are watching right now, if any one of us decided, you know what, and there's also CTN still right here. So yeah. All the CTN audience, Christian Television Network audience, appreciate you guys all the way from Fort Myers to Sarasota. If you and I, any of us, decided to don a rifle tonight and go from house to house, extorting people and collecting rent. If it was me, Aaron, and Will, we would have, you could put us on a clock, we'd have maybe 10 minutes to live. We'd be gunned down in the streets because we don't check any of the qualification boxes. We're not illegal, and we're white, and we're heterosexual, and we have no interest in transitioning. So we would all be gunned down in the street, the three amigos. We'd be gunned down in the street. But if you're a Tren de Agua member, imagine if there was video of Will, Aaron, and I going from house to house with automatic weapons, collecting and extorting rent payments, and there's video of us, we would have multiple warrants. We'd already been arrested, and they probably wouldn't even bother to arrest us. They'd probably plant weapons on us and shoot us down. Because again, we don't check any of the boxes. We're white and we're not transitioning and we're not migrants. But if you're transitioning, you get your manifesto hidden. if you're a Trende Agua, Venezuelan, that's a Trende, it's actually Trende Aragua, is how you say it, but it's too hard to say. If you're Trende Agua, they're not only a gang out of Venezuela, they are a prison gang. They existed totally and completely and solely inside of the penitentiary system inside of Venezuela. So what did Maduro do? He cleaned out his penitentiaries and sent them into the United States of America. But that's okay, because according to the Democratic Party, you're compassionate when you allow Trende Agua, rapists, murderers, extortioners, and fentanyl dealers, you are compassionate and a non-racist and anti-fascist if you allow them into the country, into the wind. And again, I guess all you have to do to not be victimized by Trende Agua is wear the I am a Democrat shirt, and the other is going to walk right past you and not victimize you because you're on their side, right? So again, we've covered Springfield, Ohio. We've covered Aurora, Colorado. Well, you know what? It's happening in another town called Fairhope City in Alabama. Listen to this mother. Play for me, Will.
I wanted to come to address the fact that our schools really cannot take on any more students, especially students that don't speak English. Our teachers, our schools are maxed out. Our teachers are at capacity. I was at my son's baseball game when I listened to what you were saying. And I want to remind everyone why we're here. We're here because of a letter that you signed. We're not here because we're incompassionate or we don't have feelings or we don't care about people. And you know what? All I could think of when you were talking is that you are gaslighting every single one of us. So I'm going to read a little piece of the letter that you signed. We continually hear from our constituents that they believe in and support refugee resettlement, from greeting refugee families at the airport to assisting with English language classes or navigating bus lines. Our communities stand welcome. I don't remember you asking anybody that's here how they felt about that. And you signed a letter on behalf of your position representing our city.
Hey, I'm just cutting into this video real quick to give my warning. We're about to leave the Christian Television Network. All of you that are watching on CTN, switch to Rumble. CTN is not cutting me off. Don't call them. Don't email them. It's okay. I love you. Thank you for defending me. But CTN is not cutting me off. This is our time that we have. We have a 56-minute slot. And it's about to end in 10 seconds. Switch to Rumble. All right, back to the video, Will.
And that is a huge problem for me. If you're going to sign a letter like that and you represent our city, then you need to ask the constituents how they feel about it. And yeah, Fairhope's probably not going to be inundated, but Foley and Silver Hill and Somerdale, and we've got a lot of communities. And what she was saying about being in a car accident, in December, I was in a terrible car accident with my two children and my friend's daughter in the car. And I was hit by an illegal immigrant in Baldwin County that did not receive a ticket, that did not go to jail. He had no car insurance. And I called the police department to ask why. Why, if I were to do that without a driver's license or car insurance, I would have been arrested. My car would have been towed. So they tell me that they can go to the DMV and they can get tags for their vehicle. And they can also get car insurance without a driver's license right here in Baldwin County. My son and my daughter and myself were injured in that accident. I had to pay for everything out of my own pocket. And so if you're inviting people here, then they need to follow our laws too. Okay? Because we all follow our laws. We pay our taxes. We pay for our car insurance. And they need to do the same. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
So there you go. I mean, you have this woman that she and her daughters are both injured in a car crash because another Haitian who they, listen, you can call me whatever you want. I don't care. I don't even know what Haitians look like, to be honest with you. I do now because of pictures, but I bet you that everybody comes like in America. Everybody comes in all shapes and sizes and colors. But anyway, Haitians don't know how to freaking drive, folks. They're coming from a third world country with an average IQ of 87. I'm not making that up. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
They're coming from a third world country. lots of inbreeding, and they have an average IQ of 87. And then they come to America. Not only do they have a lower IQ than average and barely at the realm of functionality, but then they don't even have to meet the usual requisites for driving. As I already stipulated, when it comes to Springfield, Ohio, all you have to do, and I guess it's the exact same thing in Fairhope City, Alabama, and see how these Biden flights are working out for everybody? They're actually flooding red zones with what the Biden administration considers to be future blue voters. So in Springfield, Ohio, all you have to do is show up to the DMV and prove that you're above the age of 16. And first of all, how would you be able to do that as a Haitian immigrant with no ID? Everybody even think of the basics behind any of this stuff? I know the 1,023 people that are watching right now that we think of it, but does anybody in government ever think of these things? And a lot of these people that are on these city councils that call themselves R's are actually D's, and D's in more ways than one. So how is anybody going to prove they're 16 or above the age of 16 when they have no ID from anywhere? They're just going to say that they are, and some bureaucratic retard is going to go, okay, I think you're 16 too, and just hand you a driver's license? Listen, in order for you and I, again, this goes back to what I said about Will and Aaron and I, if we went out strapped on with our AR-15s, we'd all be dead in 10 minutes. But if you're an illegal alien, you can go up and just say, I'm about over the age of 16. You and I have to get a learner's permit for a designated period of time. Then you and I have to be over the age of 16 and then pass a driving test to get our driver's license. And then every couple years, we got to do another driving test sort of thing, eye test, whatever it may be. And then, of course, we have to go in. Our driver's license actually expires and we have to go back in, right? If you're an illegal who has an 87 IQ, none of it. You don't even have to show them that you can drive. You don't have to get a learner's permit. You don't have to pass a driver's test. You just get a driver's license. And then you kill people, as they have in Springfield, Ohio, and as this woman was a victim of. The Haitian immigrant, pull up the videos of Haitian-caused car crashes in Springfield, Ohio. I've never seen so many houses run into in all my life. They run into houses. How do you run into a house when you're driving a car? I mean, have you ever asked yourself that question? How do you end up in somebody's living room while you're driving a car? And listen, I've been in some car crashes, but you know what? I never came close to being in somebody's living room. Do you realize the galactic levels of ineptitude you have to be at as a driver to end up in somebody's living room? But you can just go. You can go pull up I've already shown them on this show. But this poor woman was hit by this Haitian immigrant, illegal Haitian immigrant. Oh, he's not illegal because he flew on the CBP One app. How did he ever become legal? When did he become legal? In Haiti? Once he got on the flight that you and I paid $450,000 each for? When he flew into the United States? How and when did he become legal? Just curious. He never did. So he hits this woman, injuring her and her two daughters. The illegal alien Haitian had no DL, no insurance. And again, she even reiterated that in Fairhope City, Alabama, that you can just go in without a driver's license and get tags. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something here in the state of Florida. I've had some driving incidences in my life. You're like, Tom, weren't you a cop for 25 years? Yeah. Prior to that, I had several tickets. I've always had a lead foot. Been in some crashes, all that stuff. But I had one incident, even as a cop, my driver's license got suspended without me knowing it. Why? How did that happen? Because there was a mix-up at the DMV. It was actually their fault, but it was a mix-up at the DMV because I didn't properly register a boat trailer, so they suspended my license. As a police officer, I'm sitting in my office, and I get notified by my supervisor, hey, Tom, bad news. Your license is suspended. I'm like, I never got a ticket. How could my license be suspended? And she goes, I don't know, but it is. So you're going to have to take care of this today because you can't work until you have it. I'm on duty. I couldn't drive my police car to the DMV. I had to have another cop friend of mine pick me up in his police car drive me to the DMV. And I'm like, there's a 4-hour wait. I'm just leave me here. I'll find a way home. And I had to work it out as a cop in Sarasota County, Florida, because they felt like there was a tag problem. So they suspended my license in Fairhope City, Alabama, in Springfield, Ohio. It doesn't matter what you do. We'll give you tags for anything. You don't have to have a driver's license. You don't have to have an ID. You don't have to have anything. We'll give you tags to a vehicle. Because not only are you an illegal alien, but you have now been deemed a specialized, super special citizen who gets to do whatever they want. Let's go to the next one, Will. Wall Street Apes video. Am I in the right spot?
Yes, sir.
All right, Wall Street Apes video. $400,000 of free college tuition per illegal migrant dreamer. Play it for me.
A migrant family of four in New York could get over $20,000 a month in freebies. $500 a night at a hotel, $130 a day for food, and having two kids in public school costs us $5,000 a month. We didn't even tack on Mayor Adams' $1,000 cash gift cards, the free health care at the ER, or the free phones and free lawyers, or the $400,000 in free college tuition per dreamer. Meanwhile, taxpayers with jobs in New York pay thousands to live in a closet.
Welcome to my 80-square-foot apartment that I pay $1,750 for.
This apartment's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps long.
So just in case you missed any of the stats on that video, Jesse Waters' video, Wall Street Apes put that out on Twitter. $400,000 of free college tuition per illegal migrant dreamer. $400,000. Will you getting that for your kids?
Are
you,
no.
Okay. Aaron, you're going to have a kid soon. By the way, neither did I. My kids are both adults. A migrant family of four in New York could get over $20,000 a month in freebies. Will you make it over $20,000 a month? No. Aaron, you?
No.
Me either. they are. And you know, Will said it's almost like we're second-class citizens. No, we are 47th-class citizens under a pile of human feces, according to the federal government. Now, the federal government themselves are living high on the hog and doing whatever they want. Going there to the expensive conventions and ushering us into $36 trillion worth of debt. But you and I are basically moles living underground under feces, according to them. And this is how New York City, $750 a month to live in that closet. There isn't anything else to that. It's 5 steps from that wall to the other wall. That's it. That's the whole thing. The only thing you can't see is the toilet. Which I'm surprised isn't actually pictured in the frame. And that's what the United States citizen gets. But leave this up for him. Let's use this for context. But you can get $20,000 a month as an illegal in NYC. $500 a night at a hotel. I'm trying to remember outside of Vegas if I ever stayed at over. And the people and somebody paid for me there. $500 a night. For a hotel, $130 a day for food. Now, listen, I eat a lot. I'll give you an example. My lunch today, this is what I had. I ate 8 eggs, 2 English muffins, about 15 pieces of bacon. I'm not exaggerating. That's what I had for lunch. All right. Well, that's what I had for dinner. This combination of lunch and dinner. And then after that, I poured a giant glass of chocolate milk and I ate about 18 bite-sized Twix bars. Okay, I eat a lot. Now, that meal, all total, now these are eggs from my own chickens, so that meal probably was, I don't know, $17, $15, something like that. So that's what I ate today. So Big Tommy, $15 a day. Illegal migrant, $130 a day. Having 2 kids in public school costs us $5,000 per month for them. We didn't even tack on the Mayor Adams' $1,000 gift cards. That's on top of their $20,000 per month. Wow. They also get $1,000 cash gift cards. Free health care at the ER. Free phones? Wow. Will, you got a free phone?
No.
Okay, I got to pay for mine too. free lawyers. We're in the lawsuit right now for our church. Our church is suing the insurance company after Hurricane Ian because they refused to give us the money they're supposed to give us. I can tell you flat out right now. Those attorneys aren't free for me. So I just wanted you to know that. $400,000 in free college tuition. Meanwhile, and then, of course, you got that's how New Yorkers are living. And all of these New Yorkers will vote for Eric Adams again. And isn't it funny how now Eric Adams says nothing? Remember how he was crying and moaning about illegal aliens flooding his city? Notice how he said nothing. Ever since he was scheduled to go meet with Joe Biden, he was actually on the plane and his campaign finance advisor had her home raided by the FBI. And ever since then, he's been delightfully quiet for the Biden administration. That's strange, isn't it? That's very coincidental. Another just complete and total coincidence that we're supposed to swallow like a horse pill. All right, Johnny Midnight video. What kind of bleep does this? I have to show you this because I want to show you who Kamala Harris really is. I've jumped off. We're off the border now. Off the border. I didn't announce that. Now we're off the border. So now I'm doing miscellaneous Kamala stories. So what kind of piece of crap, I'll fix it for Johnny Midnight, does this? Here's Kamala. Remember how Kamala Harris is always bragging about how she's prosecuted transnational criminal organizations? And she's done this as a prosecutor. And she's done that. Basically always portraying herself as a tough on crime prosecutor. Was she? Let's look. Play for me, Will.
My career has been based on an understanding, one, that as a prosecutor, my duty was to seek and make sure that the most vulnerable and voiceless among us are protected, and that is why I have personally prosecuted.
Almost immediately after I got to the high school, I was befriended by the vice principal, Father Steve Whelan. The very first incident, I was playing pool, and he masturbated in front of me. And I was scared to death. I stood there frozen. I was just a little 70-pound runt. I looked across the room and I thought, geez, I need some help. And Brother Sal Belanti was watching and enjoying it. And later I found out he was a serial molester rapist himself. When he got out of the PE to go into the showers, he would watch me. He would make comments about me undressing. Then he started calling me into his office and telling me I was bad in class and what am I going to do for him. And then he would attack me. He would stick his hands down my pants. He would just molest me. And then he would tell me if anything happened, nobody would believe my word against the priest. And I believed him. This escalated. He started getting more violent and more rough. And the very last time he attacked me, he dragged me into the room. I actually blacked out and floated away while he was molesting and raping me. I just gave up on Catholicism. I gave up on God. I lost all sense of spirituality. I went with another victim to Terrence Hallinan's office, the DA's office in San Francisco, and we were introduced to Hallinan and another DA's assistant, who told us they virtually had all these boxes, about like a room full of files that they had gathered and collected and subpoenaed from the Diocese of San Francisco on all these priests. Bishop Levada at that time was the highest ranking bishop in the United States. Then he became cardinal. So this was the top guy. This was the kingpin in the United States. And we had a champion here that was going to go after him. We thought, well, this is going to go somewhere. These guys are going to be punished. They're going to be held accountable. They're going to be prosecuted.
38-year-old Kamala Harris came out of nowhere and was swept into office as San Francisco's district attorney.
In 2004, Kamala Harris was elected. Everything just went down the tubes. I started out by writing a letter asking for some help or some accessibility to the file. I didn't get any response. So then we made posters and started putting them all over the city, and we got no response. Several media members were also asking for files and stuff, and they were getting nothing. So in 2010, there was a big article in San Francisco Weekly, and they were pestering her office. And then what they got was this false statement that they were protecting victims. It's just a flat-out insult. She could have redacted the names, blacked out the names and left them out. Everything he did to gather information and to try and prosecute and go after them disappeared and went the other way. She shielded and protected them, and we were just We were floored at what happened.
We also want to make sure that when a woman is raped, a child is molested, one human being is killed by another human being, we also want to make sure there's going to be consequence and serious consequence for those crimes.
Her participation in going after clergy or predators of the Catholic Church or bishops who had enabled these people was less than zero. I would like her to produce one clergy abuser or one bishop that she's even tried to prosecute. I'd like to hear it.
So typical Democratic Party policy. So you have Kamala Harris gets elected out of nowhere. No, you could find her under Willie Brown's desk if you want to find out where she was. So that's where she came from. She didn't come out of nowhere. She came out of Willie Brown's bedroom. That's where she came out of. We all know that. Now, you might be wondering why it is that the Biden administration sends billions of dollars, and I mean billions with a B, to Catholic charities at the Darien Gap, funding these NGOs that are facilitating illegal border invaders into the United States of America. You wonder why? Because they're in this together. You notice how Kamala Harris never prosecuted any pedophiles, any pedophile priests, and she did it in the name of protecting victims. How are you protecting victims by not prosecuting their abuser? She says she's protecting victims, but okay, you know what? I was a cop, and I know about these redactions, and I know about all that stuff. Filled out plenty of reports in my life. You know what you do? You redact their names. How are you protecting a victim by not prosecuting their offender? How are you protecting a victim by not prosecuting their rapist? You can keep their identity confidential for forever. That makes absolutely no sense. So if you were protecting victims, then why was there never one prosecution? How are you protecting victims by never prosecuting one of the offenders? It makes absolutely no sense. Because normally when you say I'm protecting victims, that means that you're protecting victims as you're prosecuting and as you're investigating suspects. That's how you're protecting victims. And that's that you protect victims as you're doing that. So why was there never an outcome of any of these pedophile priests ever being prosecuted or put in prison? She says she's protecting victims. Well, you do that as you're prosecuting, going through the prosecutorial process and the investigative process. You protect the victims. You protect the victim's identity as you're heading towards prosecution and conviction. But there was never a prosecution and there was never a conviction. He said it right there. The victim said it. Not one. So it went from a room full of file boxes, full of files, full of paperwork, alleging all of these crimes against these pedophile priests, of which you heard one of the victims, and she did absolutely nothing with it. And now, lo and behold, under the Biden administration, billions of dollars goes to Catholic charities to facilitate illegals into our country. And what happens to a lot of those illegal children? They get victimized also via some sexual offender. They get sexually molested. They get raped. They get child sex trafficked. Very strange how she seems to have sympathy for child sexual abusers, and then now has an open border allowing little kids to be sex trafficked en masse into the United States of America, where she has so far lost. The latest count that I saw, it's gone up, by the way. It was 85,000. Then they found a little indiscrepancy where it turned out to be, it's 325,000 missing kids. Now it's 385,000 missing kids. They can't find 385,000. 385,000 kids missing, and she is a pedophile defender. She has a history right there. She made the whole case disappear when she came out of nowhere to win the district attorney's office of, or the attorney, whatever her title was, district attorney for San Francisco. Weird, isn't it? And then now, lo and behold, she facilitates pedophilia into the United States of America. She doesn't really... Let me restate this. She doesn't really facilitate pedophilia into the United States of America. She facilitates pedophiles' victims into the United States of America. We've lost 385,000 kids in 3.5 years. So she's averaging about 120,000 kids per year she's missing, that are missing. Into the wind. No idea whatsoever. I have to show you this. New York Post tweet. Kamala Harris, going a little long tonight, guys. Shots fired. Oh, wow. Lo and behold, this is convenient. Yeah, this is really convenient. Now we got to portray Kamala as a victim, even though she never mentions that she came within 10, 12, 20 feet of a bomb outside the DNC. She never mentions that for some reason because it's a giant hoax. So she doesn't want to bring it up because she doesn't want people to deep dive into it. New York Post, shots fired in the Kamala Harris Arizona campaign office. Cops investigating. Raises concerns. Yeah, you know who shot those rounds into Kamala Harris's campaign office? Kamala Harris's campaign. That's who shot those in. Oh, but don't worry. We have the suspects. The suspects are right here. Put it up for me, Will. There they are. The right to bear memes. These are the same guys who attacked Jesse Smollett. I'm taking this from other people. I got right to bear memes. We have the shooters right here. There they are. Go, Aaron.
Do you think that they used Kamala's gun?
Oh yeah, I've got a whole thing on Kamala's gun right here. I mean, I've got a whole thing on her gun. Oh my gosh. All right, we'll just go for a couple more minutes. All right, go to the next one. Greg Price video. Kamala Harris said this at the debate. Play it for me.
And the best economists in our country, if not the world, have reviewed our relative plans for the future of America. What Goldman Sachs has said is that Donald Trump's plan would make the economy worse, mine would strengthen the economy. What the Wharton School has said is Donald Trump's plan would actually explode the deficit. 16 Nobel laureates have described his economic plan as something that would increase inflation, and by the middle of next year.
Why do I have to listen to the lip smack of all these Democrats? Why can't you just talk without? Jeez, I'm so tired of hearing it. Just talk. Take a glass, you know, take a sip of water. Do something. But anyway, so she alleges these things that, you know, according to the Wharton School of Business and Goldman Sachs, that Trump's economic plan is a disaster for the United States of America and will usher us into more debt. That's what they say. Well, here's the response from these various entities that she's claiming support her economic policies. Wharton Business School shoots down Harris's claim she will strengthen the economy. Go to the next one for me. So Goldman Sachs CEO says, report that Harris is better for the economy is blown out of proportion. So she just bold-faced lied once again. Neither one of these institutions backed up her economic plan at all, and neither one of these institutions denigrated Donald Trump's plan, and neither one of these institutions said that Donald Trump's plan would usher us into more debt. Now, let's look into her gun, because, you know, Aaron brought up a very valid question. Is the gun that shot up her campaign headquarters the gun she is currently in possession of? Remember this. Now, let's look at the first one. Reichenbach video. Here's her claiming that she has a gun. She's somehow now... Now, she is 60 years old and has been in the public eye now for, I don't know, 30 years, something like, well, no, she goes way back, so it's longer than that. Public eye going back to her being the DA in San Francisco, which she did such a great job. So she's been in the public eye for, let's just say, somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 years, something like that, in that realm. And nobody has ever heard her ever, ever claim that she has a gun, that she's in favor of guns. Now, suddenly, she's an advocate for the Second Amendment. Suddenly, she's an advocate for the Second Amendment. We got that. Even though she wants mandatory gun buybacks, which means mandatory gun confiscation, where they just hand you $20 for your $2,500 AR. Because that's how they work. Remember the Maui residents? You know, their house gets burned to the ground. It's worth $900,000, and they gave them a $600 check. Remember that? That's how the government works. They closed down your business for COVID. You got a $10,000 a month lease payment, and they gave you $700 a month. Remember that? That's how the government works. But she's never claimed to be an advocate for the Second Amendment, never been an advocate for gun rights, never said that she's owned a gun ever in her life, in her public career, never has ever said one thing about owning a gun. But then she tells Oprah this. Play for me, Will.
I'm a gun owner. Tim Walz is a gun.
I did not know that.
If somebody breaks in my house, they're getting shot.
Sorry. Yes, yes. I hear that. I hear that.
Probably should not have said that.
But
my staff will deal with that later.
She said at one point, well, if somebody tries to break into my home, they're going to get shot.
She made that comment, and then she said, well, my staff will go ahead and clean that up. You are on Kamala Harris's staff. Can you give us some more information? I'm just curious, from a biographical background, what do we know about this firearm that she owns, and when did she get it?
Yeah, well, look, she has made it very clear that she staunchly supports the Second Amendment. She supports strong, responsible gun ownership, and she does own a firearm. So I don't know. I can't really comment more than that.
So now we've got Kamala Harris is now Second Amendment advocate and fellow gun owner out of nowhere. But what does she really believe? Here's Stephen Gutkowski. I already mentioned that she supported and advocated for mandatory gun buybacks. And when she was actually challenged by that with the Second Amendment, she says, we're just going to have to make it happen. Well, while San Francisco DA in 2005, Harris supported Prop H, the measure banned city residents from buying, selling, or possessing handguns. That's her. That's where in 2005, she supported Prop H, the measure that banned city residents from buying, selling, or possessing handguns. She sounds like Governor Grisham out of New Mexico, who is doing the exact same thing in Albuquerque. Banning the possession of firearms in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The Democratic presidential nominee backed Proposition 8 in her role as the city's district attorney at the time the measure banned San Francisco residents from buying, selling, or even possessing handguns. Can't buy them, can't sell them, can't possess them. But suddenly, she's in possession of a firearm as an advocate for the Second Amendment, except for mandatory gun buybacks and her entire political history, which is the exact opposite of that which she is now advocating, of course. All right, that's it. 10:27. I was a little over my 10:10 prediction. Rumble rants tonight. Gianna Jones, $10. Tammy L. Margaret, I love you. Appreciate you, Tammy. $10. The one and only Nude Monk, $10. Lisa Maurer, $10. Thank you guys so much. Nuala McGroin from the McGroin Nation asked that I pray over the hurricane that we got coming up here. Helene, let's pray over that right now together. Are you ready? Everybody join with me. Lord, we just pray over the storm. We ask you to keep it minimal, Lord. We ask you to prevent all loss of life. We ask you to minimize, Lord, to your maximum, Lord. Minimize all property damage. Minimize all injuries. Don't allow anybody to die. Keep that storm, Lord, at a Category 2. Don't let it get to a Category 3. Keep it minimal. And even, Lord, if it is a Category 3, just steer it away from people's homes. Keep people safe. And, Lord, just wherever it hits, whether it's Tallahassee, whether it's the Big Bend region, wherever it hits, keep everybody safe. Not one life lost. Keep every life safe and preserve property, Lord, to your maximum. Lord, we pray for all of this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody on the Rumble chat says amen. All right, love you guys. Appreciate you. Stick around for the post game. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Love you guys. It's a great post game. Got some trailers in there that you've got to see. One of them is the James O'Keefe video. One of them comes from Ultra MAGA Party. We play them all the time, too. I think he's like the owner and founder of Ultra MAGA Party. But anyway, love you guys. Appreciate you. Back here tomorrow night, 9:00. See you then.
Those Christians, though, don't pass the test. And instead, they become controlled opposition for the devil. They just change their theology. And didn't pass the test. But you know what? God's just all about being in the midst of our struggles. That's not a Bible verse. It's not a Bible verse. God wants you to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, not ever struggle. If you do these things, you will never struggle. Those things are really the four essentials: prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship. Well, I tried that. Yeah, you tried it for a day, you tried it for a week, tried it for a month, maybe even tried it for a year. But you gave the devil 50 years and you gave God 50 minutes. I'm telling you right now, if you prayed and studied the word every day, you would never, ever struggle in your walk with God.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.